Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani behind the mic. Matt Harkins behind the glass. Matty Ice is there taking your calls at 412-928-9370. You can also tweet us at KDPomp. That is my Twitter address, and we'll debate some of the issues that we still have going on here as we get to Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow. And a lot of games on tap for today and early tomorrow to get ahead of the Super Bowl, because nobody wants to go opposite that, given the viewership of it over the years. And we expect a big one tomorrow as well on CBS and KDK-TV, even though people around here probably are getting tired of watching New England. But New England is in it again, of course, against the LA Rams. We'll talk about that game and some of the prop bets that come with that game. This is also a big day for the Super Bowl because we have the voting of the Pro Football Hall of Fame Class of 2019. And on this list today, and they've already begun the debate in the room in Atlanta, Georgia, there are 15 finalists. They got to reduce to 10, and then they have to go to the final five. And among those final five, of course, is Alan Faneca, the outstanding guard for so many years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I think deserves to be in there, no doubt. But the question is, with other linemen on the ballot, like Steve Hutchinson, who was really good, Tony Boselli, who was really good, they're not going to take all three of those guys because it just doesn't happen when you have three at the same position. So I would imagine that Faneca may miss out again, even though I think he deserves to do it. So we'll find out what the final voting is tonight. But, you know, all these guys, when you mention names like Steve Atwater, Champ Bailey, Tony Boselli, Isaac Bruce, Don Coryell, Faneca, Tom Flores, Tony Gonzalez, Steve Hutchinson, Edgerrin James, Ty Law from Aliquippa, who got a big endorsement. Mike Byers of the Beaver County Times wrote a nice article about Ty Law that Tom Brady sent a letter to the Hall and said, hey, this guy deserves to be in. So Brady carries influence. We'll see how much that helps. John Lynch, Kevin Mawai on the list, Ed Reed, Richard Seymour, all these guys are really good at what they do and all deserve to be in. The problem is it's five. I'm of the belief, and I've said this before, where coaches should be on some sort of separate ballot. I know they don't do that, but I think it makes it more difficult for deserving players to get in. And nothing against Tom Flores. It's just that I would rather see players who get in and play a lot. And I'm always I'm big into different categories for different things. And I think coaches sometimes, when you get in there, you take a spot away from a player who may get in or may not get in because of it. 412-928-9370 is the number. We'll find out what Faneca, and if he does get in tonight during the honor show they have on KDKA-TV, that'll be looking at some of the winners of the individual awards, some interesting speakers, some entertainment, as well as the unveiling of the class of 2019. Also, of course, the Penguins are in Toronto tonight. It was a very busy day for Jim Rutherford, who once again made a deal. And boy, the guy is a gunslinger, and the guy is also not afraid of admitting he's made a mistake and correcting that mistake. We saw it when Mike Johnston was hired as the head coach. Didn't work the way he had anticipated, so he immediately made a change. And it was Mike Sullivan who was brought in, and all of a sudden they win two cups, and they're still going strong. But Rutherford normally looks at a situation realistically, and he acquired Derek Brassard last year. He was having a good year in Ottawa, but he was also a top six player in Ottawa. He came here knowing that that top six availability wasn't there unless he, you know, moved into a wing position, which he's not comfortable at, even though he was willing to do it at times, and it just didn't work out. So at some point, you got to cut your losses and flip, and that's what he did. He flipped it for Nick Bjugstad and Jarrett McCann. He also gave up three more picks, a second-round pick and two fourth-round picks. That was the Oleksiak trade. One of those picks came into play there. So I don't think he's done either. I think there was more on the way. So I'll ask a question of you guys out there at 412-928-9370. Where would you fit this Brassard trade? The one that he acquired last year. If you remember that trade from last year, it was Ryan. It was a three-team trade. It was Ryan Reeves to Vegas, Ian Cole to Ottawa, and he was later with the Avalanche. And then you have a first-round pick, a third-round pick, Philip Gustafson, all leaving this organization, and Derek Brassard coming in. So he didn't like that, how it worked out, and it didn't work out. He admitted it. They've moved on, and now they have two new players coming in. You look at some of the trades that he's made, and like I said, Rutherford, since the summer of 2014 when he got this gig, has been very active and very successful, largely. It started right off the bat on draft day when he traded James Neal for Patrick Hornquist. That was right out of the boots. That was a big one, you know. I mean, he gets the job, goes to the draft, Neal's gone, Hornquist comes in. Different style of players, both very successful. Along the way, some other ones. You might remember the Ben Lovejoy for Simon Dupre. That was a controversial one at the time because I think a lot of people thought Dupre was going to be really good, but he's had a history of concussions. It's never really worked out. Lovejoy was part of a team that won. Bortuzzo for Cole in the first place, how he got him here. The one that's going to always resonate was the one for Phil Kessel. Kasperi Kapanen, who the Penguins will see tonight. A first, a third, Scott Harrington, Nick Spaulding for Kessel, Tim Erickson, Tyler Biggs, and a second-round pick. But those two guys, the key was Kessel, and his contributions to two Stanley Cup championships is unmistakable. And no matter what happens to Kasperi Kapanen, I've always said that was going to be probably the best and biggest deal that he's made, Jim Rutherford. There have been some other sneaky ones in there, too, like Rob Scuderi for Trevor Daley. Goes under the radar. Brandon Sutter for Nick Bonino. How key was that? Perron and Hagelin, also very big to acquire Carl Hagelin. And I think ever since then, though, the Penguins have been trying to get this HBK mentality going again, and it's hard to recreate that. That was a special line at a special time, and it was unbelievable. It reminded me of the 2009 third line the Penguins had with Jordan Staal and Matt Cook and Tyler Kennedy. It was magic for them in the playoffs, but they've been trying to get another third line cranking in that direction. Brassard was supposed to be that fit, and it never happened. So they made the deal. I'd like to get your thoughts on that deal. And do you think Jim Rutherford is done yet? 412-928-9370. They got Toronto tonight, and the Penguins are right in the thick of things again in this division, which is tightly contested. Just 1 point separates first from third, essentially, with the Islanders getting a point last night. They're a very good team. And we'll see what the Penguins can do tonight against a Toronto team that just acquired Jake Muzzin in a trade. So let me know what you think about that at 412-928-9370. As far as the Super Bowl is concerned, we haven't really talked a lot about that because it's been overshadowed by Antonio Brown and all of that kind of stuff that's gone on, and we're not going to see a resolution to that. If anything, we saw more confusion on that topic this week when Antonio Brown appeared at the Super Bowl, and I'm not sure his objectives at this point. I mean, he's telling people he doesn't want to be here, yet he's sending out tweets that indicate he may like to be here. I mean, pick something here, you know, or just don't do anything because I'm tired of analyzing tweets and Instagram posts. But that's all we seem to be doing at this point. I'm still of the belief they're going to trade him. I'm still of the belief they can get more for him than people think. And I'm still of the belief that for those who say he can just reconcile the situation, that ship has sailed. That's not going to happen. I think at this point they have to make a deal. I also saw that the New York Jets say they'd be willing to talk to Le'Veon Bell about a deal, but they're not going to, quote, break the bank, which is what I anticipated, when he went through this entire season. He skipped out on $14.5 million. It's going to be hard to get that money back at all, if he can. He'll get a deal from somebody. And even though people have a lot of cap money available, it's not going to be as easy as he thinks. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let us know what you think about that. I also want to get into the Pirates because here we are just a few weeks away from spring training and not much going on yet. They've acquired a couple of pieces here and there, mostly complimentary kind of guys. And I like Lonnie Chisenhall. I do. I think he could be a productive member for them. But your take on where they are, we haven't had much talk about it. And quite frankly, we haven't had much talk about free agency with the two biggest pieces out there who are looking for big long-term contracts and may regret that they turned down contracts. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, still nothing. If you remember last year, J.D. Martinez went very late into the – I forget what it was, Matt. Was it nearing spring training? Maybe you could look that up because I know it was very late.
I just read a story on it yesterday. It was like a few weeks into spring training before
into spring training. So, okay. So J.D. Martinez ended up getting a nice deal, not what he thought. And I think Machado and Harper specifically are in that same boat. Harper turned down $300 million from the Washington Nationals. He may regret that move. because he may end up going back there, but for less money. And teams are not budging on those kind of deals. I think they realize that most of them longer term are not working out. Just check out Miggy Cabrera, check out Albert Pujols, both outstanding players. But when you give 10-year contracts to aging players, and not that Harper's in that mode, that's what I thought was different with him. He's still young enough where he can play, you know, 15 to 20 more years. But still, the money is going to be tighter than they anticipated. Agents are getting antsy. It's always fun to see when you see that in baseball. 412-928-9370. We'll take a break. Come back with more. Just getting started. Give us a shout here. Our show, as always, is brought to you by the good people of Allegheny Health Network, Health for All. PNC Bank, make today the day. And number one Cochrane, go one better at number one Cochrane. Bob Pompiani, just getting started here. Want your calls until 1 o'clock on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.